think it speaks more volumes on Joseph. Yes, he was feeding the flock, he was obedient to his parents, as you'd expect most children to be. But he knew his siblings hated him, yet when he had the dreams, he kept going back to them. He kept seeking communion, fellowship, interaction with them. It doesn't tell us in the scriptures he had any ill feelings toward them. And I think that speaks more of his character than anything else, the fact that he would still seek them out knowing how they felt about it.
The first that comes to mind is in Isaiah, where it speaks about the Lord Jesus, chapter 53. He was oppressed and afflicted, and yet he opened not his mouth. So regardless of all that Joseph's brothers did to him, he could have retaliated, he could have fought back. But the only thing that he did was just tell his father, which was pleasing to the father. But he didn't respond back to his brothers provoking him to anger, or he just stayed to himself.
Joseph being the apple of his father's eyes, we've already said, and the fact that he was silent while his brothers mistreated him. That was the only way for him to get to exaltation. That was the only way for his dreams to actually come to be. Not that he knew that beforehand, but he knew how to behave and how to act. This parallels with the Lord Jesus, because the only way for him to be exalted on the right hand of the Father was for him to go through death and for him to save us. That was the only path that he had the choice of taking. So those Joseph and Jesus parallel in that way as well, in the way that their lives turned out.
One of the things that I think is very helpful to see is that Joseph didn't come from a very healthy family. If he did, we could look and say, well, no wonder he behaved so well. Look at what a nice place he lived in. Look at what a nice family he came from. He had it so good. I don't have it so well. My parents were divorced. Or, you know, I have a stepmom, or I don't have both of my parents, or whatever the case. He had an incredibly dysfunctional family. His father had four wives. Imagine growing up and, are you my mommy? Well, no, not really. I'm his mom. I'm his mom over there. I'm your dad's other wife. That's your mom. You know, what confusion of God's order in the family. He had to live with that. You read about how all of his brothers and sister came to be. It was a whole bunch of fighting between two women. Oh yeah? Well, now I have another son. I'm going to call him Praise, because I'm going to praise God for giving me four sons and you none. You know? Oh yeah? Well, I'm going to call my next son Naphtali, because I'm wrestling with you and I'm winning. You know, it's this battle back and forth between two of them. They're naming their kids based upon their own fight. That's the situation that we had in this household. You know, his father was old. He probably couldn't run around and play games with him as I like to do with my kids. He was limp, we know, because early on when the Lord touched his hip and dislocated it and made him always lean on a staff. I'm not sure if Rachel was even alive at this time, or if she had already died, but he lived in a very messed up house. How are you supposed to figure out how a brother should be when all of your older brethren are evil? What kind of examples did they set there? Reuben, we know what kind of sin Reuben did. He committed adultery with his own father's, one of his father's wives. look at the mess Judah ends up getting into in the next chapter, which we won't discuss today. He had no good examples. Sometimes we want to say, well, you know, I didn't have any role models. You know, as an attorney, I've been to court on a number of occasions, and I've heard a judge have to send people away to jail, young people. I was actually at a sentencing where a judge sent I think he was 17 or 18, young man to jail for 45 years, being involved in a stupid shooting with his friends outside. And his lawyer came up, oh, judge, his father was abusive, his mother had to take him and go live with another man, and then that man was abusive, and he didn't have any older brethren to teach him how to do right and wrong, and he went to a rough school and lived in a rough neighborhood. Judge, you know, and we make these kinds of excuses. Joseph could have made these excuses when he was tempted, as we'll get to later on, by Potiphar's wife. He could have said, well, my brother did this, and my other brother did that, and my father went with four women. What's... No excuses for Joseph. He didn't make excuses. He didn't make any excuses. We can have much respect for him, keeping that in mind, that he conducted himself well, not because he had any good examples or role models. He didn't have a Bible, like you and I do. He didn't have conferences like this. Yet he, you think of Daniel, in a similar situation. With Daniel, we read of he purposed in himself, and he will not defile himself with the king's. He purposed in himself. And I think we see this in Joseph. Him purposing in himself. We get that again in his temptation. How can I do this? Sin against my God. Purposed in himself. It doesn't matter that my family life is, the rest of my household is dysfunctional, that I don't have a mother, that I have four mothers, that my father's old, that my brethren are evil. It doesn't matter. I know what's right and wrong. We all know what's right and wrong. And you and I, who are believers, we have the Word of God, we have the Spirit of God living in us. We know what's right and wrong. Let's not make excuses. Let's not, you know, let's do like the Apostle Paul, forgetting the things behind. If you came from a difficult family life, I trust many of us haven't, praise God, but if you have, or if you had bad examples in your life, if you had siblings who went in the wrong direction, don't make excuses. Don't worry about them. Worry about yourself and your relationship with your God.